Beautiful, isn't it? That's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we'd like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. And visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own home if you live in a country that's not free or there's no Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own community anywhere in the world. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And why don't you visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links, please tell a friend about our website and our broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like.
Thank you. Father, it is such a privilege to know you, to come and assemble as your people, to have the privileges that we have through Christ, those things that were accomplished through the cross, to have forgiveness of sins. Father, let us remember that Jesus died for all, that the life that we now live, we don't live to ourselves, but we live to you. And help us, dear Lord, during this time and this new year, Father, that you have graciously given us, please help us to renew our zeal and affection for you, our faith. And I pray, Father, that many wonderful things would be done through this body. Bless this time that we have, Father. I pray for help as I try to express how wonderful your word is. And I pray, Father, that we would hear these things and that they would settle in the deep places of our hearts and we would put them into practice and come to know you more fully. May your blessing be over this congregation. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 6 this morning. If you'd like to turn over there, it's where we're going to pick up. Happy New Year once again. This is a very special time spiritually for me. I think it's very helpful as we just look back over the last year. We think about the answered prayers, the ways that God has been faithful in our lives. And many of us at the new year, we like to make resolutions. Maybe we realize that we haven't eaten as healthy as we wanted to, and we want to make some adjustments. But as Christians, many times we think about ways that we'd like to grow closer to the Lord, ways that we'd like to experience His blessing and power more in our life. And I'm excited to start a new year and to look to Him. Many of us are glad to say goodbye to 2020. It was a difficult year for a lot of us. But I'm afraid as we go into 2021, many of the problems, they don't just automatically disappear because the calendar changes. And so I'm excited this morning to look at Daniel chapter 6. Here we have a story of an incredible man of God who is put forward as an example, who faces some really difficult challenges and is a pattern for us of how to face uncertain times and to be victorious and triumphant. And I believe that this is such a timely message and the answer for some of the problems that we face here in the future. And so we have this principle that is true in Scripture. The darker the day is, the Lord has the amazing ability to allow His people, His servants, sometimes just a few people, sometimes just one man or woman, to shine so much brighter in difficult times. It's kind of like the stars during the daytime. You ask, where did they go? But at nighttime, they shine so brightly. It is the same with dark times in history. For instance, the prophet Elijah, an ordinary man, just like us in every way, but it was in very dark and difficult times that the Lord called him to stand up against the 400 false prophets of Baal, challenge them on Carmel. And so God's greatest victories are won when the enemy is strongest and the Lord's people are most challenged. And so the story this morning from Daniel 6 reminds us that even in challenging circumstances, the Lord is still sovereign in heaven. And so Daniel, we might note, lives at the end of the first covenant. And so this is a great blessing and privilege for him as he can look back to other saints who walked with God. For instance, he can look back to the lessons of Adam. Adam knew God as the creator of the universe. Abraham knew God as the God in whom nothing was too hard. He knew God as a provider who provided the lamb on the mountain. Daniel could look back to David and his success in battle, the power of God in war, to look at the examples of grace and forgiveness. And so Daniel stands firmly upon the foundation of those who went before him. He understands and he knows God's character. He knows God's proven faithfulness as he's been progressively revealed throughout history. And so what we read in Daniel chapter 11, 32 is true. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That is, people who truly know the character, the awesome nature of who the living God is, these people are going to stand firm and they are going to take action regardless of the difficulties that they are faced with. And so it's upon this rock that Daniel stands fixed and immovable before the wicked of his day. We are blessed to stand where we do today. At the end of history, we're not trailblazing. We're not experimenting. We're not called to reinvent the wheel, but we can look back at the faithfulness of our God in all generations. And because of this privilege, because of the knowledge and the greater light that we have the liberty, we have the freedom to exhibit greater faith in the time that we live in the last days. And so let me note just a little bit here about the setting of Daniel chapter 6. Most scholars believe that Daniel was a teenager when he was carried away by the Babylonian captivity. But as we transition into the sixth chapter, this is a point which is not always made. Daniel, if you follow the internal chronology of the scripture, is roughly in his 80s. And so Daniel is an old man at this point. And we understand that Daniel, he is someone who eats healthy. He takes his diet seriously. He refuses the luxurious food that would have been accessible to him. And instead, he eats vegetables and water. And so here we see an older man who is physically and spiritually fit, and he is ready to be used even in an older age. And I think one of the great temptations, perhaps for those that are older, is to feel this sense that because of their old age, God is finished with them, and maybe they want to leave different problems for other people to solve. But isn't it interesting here that Daniel is used powerfully even in a late age? And this would be the devil's greatest desire and delight if the elderly of our generation were to spiritually lay down their weapons in the midst of a struggle. We are in a terrible spiritual struggle today in this world, in the United States of America, and we need the elderly, we need people of all ages more than ever to pick up spiritual arms and to be faithful. The Lord's appeal in 2021 is for the watchmen to return to their post. It's for the priest to continue to come before the Lord in intercession. It is for, as the angel tells the Apostle Paul, in a very difficult situation, it is to not be silent, that is the message, but to go on speaking, even though we have terrible opposition. And so Galatians 6:9 speaks to this effect. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And how true this was of Daniel, this man who lived to be in his 80s, but he refused to give up, but he kept doing good, kept being faithful, and kept serving the Lord. And so we're going to begin here in Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of God." Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom and the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document, so that it cannot be challenged according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, and as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, "O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition or to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Then they answered and said before the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed." Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." And the stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of the lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. And so I want us to consider back in verse 3 that the division of this kingdom, there were 120 officials that had been set over the kingdom of Persia, and they were answerable to three high officials, of which Daniel was one. And we said there was an excellent spirit in Daniel. He was greatly blessed of the Lord to the point in which he outperformed the other high officials, and so the king wanted to set him over the entire kingdom. And I believe that this excellent spirit which was in Daniel refers to the Holy Spirit. We see in the Old Testament that the Holy Spirit is active. The Holy Spirit comes upon people, even fills individuals at different times. And David makes reference to being filled with the Holy Spirit. It is not until the day of Pentecost when the floodgates are opened and the Holy Spirit is poured out on all believers, but we see the Holy Spirit working, and it's his ministry is powerfully displayed in the life of Daniel. And so we have an image here, much like that of Joseph, who went before him. God has given Daniel a supernatural ability to be successful in governing a nation. So evident is God's blessing upon his life, that of the three high officials that King Darius has set over his kingdom, Daniel proves to be the best equipped. And so King Darius now desires to restructure his government, putting all under Daniel's control. And so we see in verse 4 that because of God's favor that is upon Daniel's life, this begins to cause problems for Daniel. Instead of the officials and the other high officials complimenting Daniel for his success and being glad that God has sent someone who is has the ability to govern the nation, they became extremely jealous, and they began to conspire against him. And so jealousy, this is a major problem, and I believe that this is something that perhaps can keep people from desiring to be more used of God. I find this principle in the homeless community. No sooner than God begins to exalt and to work and to deliver someone from the streets, many times those who are still homeless desire to pull them right back down because they're jealous of their success. And I've had personal experience as I'm in the process of trying to take someone to rehab and trying to help them take the next step. I've literally had people from the street pull them out of my car in order that they could not go on to be exalted and God could not work further in their life. And so this is something that we need to be aware of. If God is going to work in our lives, if He's going to exalt us, we can't be afraid of other people rooting for our failure or being jealous of the ways that God is using us in a special way. And so I want to speak here to the character of Daniel. Daniel is a man who is uncompromised. It grieves me, and I know that it grieves the heart of God, that it's almost fully accepted in our society today as a way of working up the ladder. And even in business, it's almost accepted that it's okay to compromise in small things. It's okay to make certain decisions that don't align with the will of God. And this is something that Daniel is simply not willing to do. Consider his situation. Daniel is about to be made the most powerful man on the planet, second to the king. All he has to do is just not say anything about his religion. All he has to do is not go and let people see him praying towards his God in heaven, and then he becomes the most powerful man in the world. And you can see unrighteous counselors telling him, Daniel, if you just slip up just a little bit, God will understand. If you just compromise a little bit, then you can better serve God. But this is not what Daniel does, and he refuses to change his principles and to become unfaithful. So Daniel is uncompromised in both public and in private. He is not ashamed of his God. He understands the all-seeing eye of the Lord is always upon us, even in our private lives. And so Daniel, I believe it's clear, is a rare example of personal character. This story is not about many people, but it centers around one person. And this is the way that Scripture reads. Many times God lifts up a small group of blameless people. He uses one person of exceptional character to do incredible things. Daniel here represents the remnant, and biblical heroes are made up of people who possess an abnormal personal integrity. And sometimes this takes many years by which the Lord refines them, in which He consecrates them, in which He makes them godly and conforms them to the image of Himself in order that they might be choice instruments to do exceptional things in the day that they live. And so they possess a rare godliness in their generation. And they're wholly equipped in order to excel in the challenging circumstances that they live in. And so these people, like Daniel and other biblical characters, they are priceless to their generation. Their value cannot be assessed. You can't put a value on what they mean to the cause of righteousness in their day. And so there's nothing that is more destructive to the devil than someone who is uncompromised, than someone who is totally sold out for Christ. It was a very bad day for for the devil when Paul showed up in Corinth, that sin city where Satan had dominion. A man weak in bodily appearance and not eloquent in speech showed up where Satan had his seat. But we read in 1 Corinthians 4:20, "For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power." Though this man was weak in the eyes of the world, though he lacked the eloquence of a Greek orator, he was an uncompromised, sanctified, holy man, and therefore God honored him with power. The power comes from God and is awarded to those who are consecrated to Him. What is God's solution for difficult times, you might ask? What is God's solution for 2021? What is His greatest weapon? Uncompromised servants. I want us to consider here the risk that Daniel takes for the Lord. We don't like risk. That is something the flesh absolutely hates. We love security. We don't like anything that threatens our way of existence. And so there are two ways in which Daniel acts in risk for the Lord. Number one, he defies the law of the land and he risks his high position. Here Daniel has the opportunity. The king has already determined to set him over the entire kingdom, and in disobeying the law, he risks the greatest position in all the world. And also, we understand that, secondly, Daniel risked his own life for the sake of God's word. Daniel would have no right to rely on the Lord's deliverance if he had denied and had been ashamed of the Lord. Faithfulness had gotten him to the pinnacle of success. This blameless character had gotten him to the highest position in all the world, and he's unwilling to change his philosophy and his religion, even at this point. And so Daniel, he considers that it would be far better to lose everything and have God. He is willing to give up his position as the most powerful man in the world, second to the king. He is willing to give up his very own life. To him, it is a far more terrible thought to grieve the living God than to be torn to pieces by lions. Such is the heart of Daniel. You might ask yourself, are you willing to take such a stand, Lord, even in lesser matters? This is so incredibly relevant to us. God delights. He glories in His people who are uncompromised. The devil gives us opportunities all the time in our life. We are faced with decisions whether we can obey the Word of God and we can take risk for the Lord, or we can fold and do what is right in the eyes of the world. I fear many Christians are not prepared to take a similar stand for the Lord. So many are bound by the shackles of self preservation. This principle applies to us all, but consider preachers for a minute. How many preachers refuse to deal with certain scriptures for fear that they will lose their job or perhaps split the church or anger the wealthy members in the congregation? If the scripture were to be expounded plainly, there would be problems in many churches. Compromise. Note this, very importantly, compromise is to prefer the interest of man over God. Compromise is to prefer the interest of man over God. Still further, please ponder with me, it is to fear man over God. Think of the absurdity to fear man over God. How infinitely wonderful, how mighty, how fearful is the Creator of the universe, and how tiny and doesn't even register on the scale in comparison is that of mankind. And so those who live compromised lives prove that the eyes of their hearts are blind to the immeasurable greatness of God, or otherwise they would tremble before His greatness and quickly obey Him and serve Him in all their ways. Daniel is not bound by these chains, but is a free man and is at liberty to honor God before all men, publicly, privately, you name it. He is uncompromised. This is truly a happy place to be free to serve God, to not fear men, to set your heart to obey Him in all things. This is a liberty and a freedom that cannot be expressed. And also, I want us to note in the text this morning, I want us to pay special attention that when anyone takes a stand for the cause of the Lord, this activity does not go unnoticed in heaven. This type of faithfulness mobilizes the angels in heaven. It obtains God's promises and surely gives great joy to our loving Heavenly Father as He sees His children determined to honor Him regardless of the consequences. Look now as we continue in verse 19 of Daniel chapter 6. Then at daybreak, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he trusted in his God. And the king commanded that those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. And this is a principle that we see throughout Scripture. The idea that the wicked plot and conspire against the Lord and against His anointed and against His people, and they plant a trap. And through God's justice, it turns out that they fall into the very trap that they set for the righteous. This is a wonderful and encouraging thing to remember. And the pit that they dig, they fall into it themselves. But notice once more, what is the secret? What is the answer in verse 22? He says, I was found blameless before Him. And so this is what God is looking for. He is looking for His church to stand confidently in the grace of Jesus Christ and to continue in that and to trust Him in the face of corruption, in the face of persecution, and when it seems like everyone is conspiring against us to take a stand for the Lord. And look at the words of King Darius in verse 25 and following. What a wonderful picture of our awesome God this is. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For He is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and His dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus, the king of the Persians. And so as we look forward to 2021, as we look forward to uncertain times, perhaps difficult times, as we see corruption in the world that we live, when we see people conspiring against God and His people, we have many enemies such as Daniel. What is God's answer? What is He looking for? What is His word for us? What is most needed today? It is uncompromised people who desire to be blameless. It is this rare quality that is found in Daniel, this holiness. God is looking for uncompromised churches. A people that love Him with all of their heart and fear Him and seek to do His will in all things. We are assured that the Lord still delivers and rescues from the power of lions. And He ultimately did this when He sent His one and only Son to the earth, that He might rescue His people from their sins. If you do not know this great God of Daniel, the good news is that the Lord sent His one and only Son to the world. He died in our place and was punished for the sins that we have committed. He was buried and tasted death for each one of us. And he rose again on the third day that we might have hope of eternal life. The Scripture teaches that we are to respond to this great love by repenting of our sins and being baptized for the forgiveness of our sins in order that we might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And from this point forward, walking and following in His footsteps. If this is your desire, or if you need any other prayers, we would encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing our invitation song this morning.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who He says He is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by Him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, He can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray that this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at this same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.